Welcome to the Talent Development Hot Seat Podcast, the number one podcast for learning and talent development professionals. Now here's your host, Andy Storch.
Welcome to the Talent Development Hot Seat Podcast. I am your host, Andy Storch, and I'm excited that you're joining me today for another episode to help you up your game and improve your capabilities in the world of talent development and life. And this episode today is a special one where we're not just talking about talent development. We are talking about how you can live a whole life and do things that will help you avoid burnout and overwhelm, not just for yourself, but hopefully some advice that can help you help your people avoid burnout and overwhelm, something that was coming up a lot in 2020, and I fear is going to be coming up a lot again recently or in the coming months as I see more people doing more with less, companies cutting back on resources, but workloads increasing. It just seems like there's more and more to do. There's more responsibilities. There's pressure to do more with the time that we have, not just work, but family obligations and other things. And it's causing a lot of people stress. And I hope that you're not in that bucket. But even if you aren't, it's good to have the tools that could be helpful to help you avoid that stuff and be able to help other people avoid it as well. This is something that I think about quite often. And a few months back, I went to a mastermind retreat in Charleston, South Carolina. And I met a man named Kent Murawski, who gave a sort of a mini keynote talk at this event about avoiding burnout and overwhelm. And it included some of his own story that I thought was very compelling. And we struck up a friendship. And so recently I asked him if he would lead a session in the Talent Development Think Tank membership community that I run just for our members about that topic. And so what you're going to hear today is actually a recording from that session. So this is not a direct podcast interview per se, like we usually do. What I'm sharing with you is the recording from that session we did inside the Think Tank community, where he's teaching, he's still telling his stories, but also you may hear him asking questions and getting feedback and answers from people in the group, mostly through the chat. There's a few other people in the community that speak up. This was about an hour long, really, I thought, very interesting, and I wanted to share it here on the podcast for a couple reasons. One, mainly to provide these insights and teachings to you, and two, because I want to give you a little bit of insight into some of the things we do inside the Think Tank community, which is that I often invite not only guests from this podcast, but other experts and speakers in my network who I know and I know provide great value, as well as our members, to lead sessions for our other members on different topics around talent development to help them with the work that they do. The whole idea is help everybody accelerate their success. Now, most of our call topics are about things around talent development, like building leadership development programs. We've had one on onboarding recently. This one is a little bit more personal development, I would say, but it's something that you can also use to help others. I will say Kent shares a framework on slides that you won't necessarily be able to see, but I think you'll get the gist. And if I can find his framework with a link, we'll put that in the show notes as well for you to be able to go check him out. Again, it's Kent Murawski, Murawski, if you want to go look him up on LinkedIn. And if you're not following me on LinkedIn, make sure you come give me a follow, send me a connection request, let me know that you listened to the show. AndyStorch.com is my website. And of course, Andy Storch, S-T-O-R-C-H. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. And if you want to find out more information about the Talent Development Think Tank membership community, as well as the conference we have coming up in November, all that information is at tdtt.us. All right, that is it for my intro. Without further ado, here is my session with Kent Murawski on avoiding burnout and overwhelm and building a whole life. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to our Talent Development Think Tank community call, special call for Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. This is, I've been running this community for almost 4 years now. We started in, I think, May 2024, almost throughout that entire time. We've done calls consistently on Wednesdays at noon Eastern time, which I always thought I kept it that way because I thought people would appreciate the consistency and know when the calls are. But I also have heard comments over the years from people that are like, I have a standing meeting with my team every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific or whatever, and I can't make the calls. So I've always thought about, you know, starting to introduce different days and different times. It was going to be really complicated before we got on this new platform. But now what I love with Heartbeat is once you're on there, it automatically will send invitations out to put it on your calendar. So really excited about that, to be able to do some different days. So excited to have Kent with us today to do this call on burnout. And this Thursday, we're doing more of a public webinar on AI and talent development with Josh Ermler. So hopefully some of you can join that as well, but we're recording both. Okay, so Kent Murawski is a leadership coach, a keynote speaker, an author, facilitator. He is just a curious guy. And I met him through a mastermind, another community that I pay to belong to for entrepreneurs, run by a guy named Mike Kim in the US. He had a mastermind retreat for members back in September in Charleston. And I flew over. The last time I was in the US was back in September. And he had a few different people speak at that retreat, that workshop. And Kent was one of those people. And he led a session. He gave kind of a mini keynote, if you will, on burnout, including his own very interesting story of dealing with that through his last profession, which he may talk about, and his family and his work and all those things. And it was really powerful. And I thought, we've got to bring this to the community at some point to help him spread the message. And hopefully some of us can benefit from this as well. Kent is just a natural speaker connector. I recognize those when I see it. So excited to have him here. Kent, welcome to the group. Take it away. I made you co-host, so you should be able to share and do whatever you want to do.
Awesome. Hey, good to see everybody. How's everybody doing today? Give me a thumbs up, thumbs down, or middle. All right, see some good thumbs up. I'm middle. I threw out my back this morning, which I don't do very often. It's like once a year, and it happened this morning. So yeah. I feel okay now, but this morning was rough. Well, feel free to put in the chat where you're from. I'd love to hear, you know, where you're from, what part of the world you're coming from. I'm in the Boston area, so I've been here for about 14 years. So shout out for anybody that's in the Northeast United States here. But we love you wherever you're from, except if you're from Spain. Just kidding, Andy.
I'm not from Spain. I just live here.
You just live here.
By the way, plug, since there was all this hype about the solar eclipse, the next one is coming through Spain in August 2026, if anybody wants to come visit. So come on out.
I heard that because I was asking my son if he knew the other day. He's 11. And, you know, when the next eclipse was, and he's like, Dad, I think you'll be dead. It's like... It's like 91 years. At least that's what he said, the next one coming through here. So I'm like, well, yeah, that's what he said. Okay, we got San Diego, Rhode Island, so Boston area, New Hampshire. So we've got a couple New Englanders here. Sunnyvale, California, Albuquerque, and Washington. Nice. California, anywhere else? Well, great. It's great to have you all here today. Let me just start with a story. I'll tell you a little bit about who I am as we go through the talk a little bit, but I want to start with a story. So when I was 27 years old, I was supposed to go to a weekend conference. And instead, actually, before I finish this story, I want to take one picture because I know I'll forget it at the end. I want you to just make a silly face, and I'm going to take a picture of everyone just to document this group of wonderful people. And I'm on there too. All right, give me your silliest face. And then we'll do a serious one too. All right, there, it's a silly. Now let's do the serious. Now just a normal smile. All right, so when I was 27 years old, I'm set to go to this weekend conference. And instead of going to the conference, I fell down on the floor. I curled up in a ball and I cried like a baby for what seemed like maybe 2 to 3 hours. I don't know exactly how long it was. I just know what it felt like. My wife was there with me. We were fairly newly married. I think maybe a year or two at the tops. And I had no idea what was going on at that moment. When I got up off the floor, I just knew that I had been overextending myself. And that's about the most that I knew. I hadn't been paying attention to the signs. The signs being, you know, I was anxious at night to the point that I was felt like I was crawling out of my skin sometimes. Anybody ever felt like that before? We can be honest here, right? I was feeling down and depressed, and that's not my normal demeanor. I hadn't typically struggled with depression or anxiety or any of those things. You know, add on top of that, I was working a full-time job at the county health department. My background is environmental biology, so I was doing that at the time. I was also volunteering at my church as a full-time, well, on the side, but it felt like full-time, a full-time youth pastor and worship leader, music director, whatever you want to call it, for a church of about 400 people. I was not healthy. I was not eating right. I was doing a lot of pizza, you know, as a youth pastor in my early, you know, mid-20s. You know, my doctor told me that I needed to get in better shape. I had high triglycerides at the age of 27. My marriage was not doing great. I was newly married, came from a divorce background. My wife did as well. And I was a moron, to be honest with you. I was not self-aware at that age. That didn't come till later. I had an anger problem. So all these different like personal things were going on. And add on top of that, I was working a lot of hours. You know, looking back, I can see the reason for my nervous breakdown at the time. But in the moment, I didn't have those answers. So fast forward 10 years, that was around 2004. Fast forward to about 2014, things had gotten somewhat better. I had one of the great things, honestly, that came out of that burnout period was that I have a built-in alarm system now. And that alarm system, when I start overextending myself, be it getting too busy or things start getting out of whack, these alarm bells start going off inside of me, this red flag. I start feeling anxious in different ways that aren't normal. And so I know I need to start pulling back. That being said, life had gotten incrementally better. So it went from poor to mediocre. You know, I was still, you know, my marriage was average at the time. We had since moved to Boston, and my background is ministry. And so I was planting or starting a brand new church in the city of Cambridge at the time. For those of you know that know the Boston area, you know, Cambridge is that little town right across from downtown Boston, bustling with life. And we were sandwiched right between MIT and Harvard. That's where we were starting our church. So we had started the church 3 years earlier, but we had never done a grand opening. And so I was working as a part-time youth worker, an urban youth worker in the city of Cambridge. We were getting ready to do this grand opening. I was raising $35,000 to do it. And most of all, I was trying to be a good husband and father. Well, the alarm bells started going on and off again. I was on the verge of another burnout. And so when I looked at my life, I still had a lot of things that I was struggling with, though they had gotten better. Well, I don't have any better way to tell it, but I had this sort of mystical, I guess, type experience where, I'll just give you the short version. What I felt like happened was I had this awakening, this sort of come to moment in the midst of all those alarm bells going off and the burnout encroaching again. And this thought came to mind: Kent, you don't have to understand or control everything around you to live from a place of peace and rest. And something at that moment in my life switched. It was like a switch flipped inside of me. And I started to learn what it means to live from a place of wholeness and a place of rest. You see, as a faith-driven person, and it's okay if you're not, that was my makeup. I thought that if I just had my spiritual life all together, or what I thought my spiritual life meant, that all the other parts would kind of fall into place. And it didn't work that way. I had a lot of misconceptions about what it meant to be whole and complete. So let me back up and give you a little bit of my background, because I talked about it. It'll help you give you some context for today. I was a nonprofit leader from about 2004 to 2005. I was the executive director of a nonprofit that had 28 chapters throughout the Northeast. I did that for 5 years. And then we moved to Boston in 2009 and started a church. And I was what they would call the lead pastor, the senior minister, for 14 years. And then in the last 2 to 3 years, I've started my own company called, it's just creative, this is really creative, but Kent Morosky and Company. And so like Andy said, I'm doing a lot of executive leadership coaching, speaking, writing, things like that. But my purpose really is to catalyze people and organizations to reach their potential so that they can make a lasting difference in the world. And that's what I want to help you do today. Now, you might not be struggling with burnout today, but I'm pretty sure that all of us at one time or another, even if we haven't had a nervous breakdown and wasn't as unself-aware as I was, have felt frayed around the edges, right? You felt, the world's moving at a fast pace. And I like to compare it to Bilbo Baggins in Lord of the Rings. You know, he had the ring of power for 60 years. And afterwards, after having it for 60 years, he said to Gandalf one day, he said, "I feel thin, sort of stretched like butter scraped over too much bread." Isn't that a great metaphor? Like sometimes we feel like butter scraped over too much bread. We're stretched thin, we're frayed at the edges. You know, it could be for a lot of different reasons. It could be because your job feels toxic. It could be a toxic work environment, or you have an unmanageable workload, or maybe you're not operating in your zone of genius. And what I mean by that is, I define that as it's your strength, the strengths that you have that you also enjoy doing, right? Your zone of excellence would be the things you're good at, but you don't love doing them. So maybe you're not in your zone of genius a lot of the time at work, or maybe you're in your a corporate executive, or you're in a corporate role, or you're an entrepreneur and you're working a lot of hours. You're pushing 60, 70, 80 hours sometimes, and you know that's not sustainable, but you don't know what else to do. You know, in your relationships, maybe you feel tension there. Nothing will burn you out as quick as relational tension. You know, maybe with your spouse, or as a parent of teenagers like I am right now, and it's a difficult season of life. Or as a mom and dad, you're just struggling with different pressures in your home. Maybe you're physically unhealthy and it's leaving you exhausted. You know, or maybe you're emotionally or mentally worn out for different challenges you're facing. But the fact of the matter is, we all can understand what it's like to be overwhelmed. And so I like to use the term burnout or overwhelm, because those mean different things to different people and we can relate to them. But I think the crux of the issue is, and this is one we can't control, the world's moving at what I think sometimes is an unsustainable pace. But what we don't have to do is we don't have to live our lives at an unsustainable pace. That's the part of control that we do have. What we don't have control of is the fact that we can engage and we can travel anywhere in the world in 24 hours. You know, we have control where we travel, but you know, we can move anywhere we want in the world. We, you know, social media is going 24/7. We can plug into the internet or TV or any of those things all the time. We have what I like to call decision fatigue. There's so many choices and options. It's exhausting at times. Work has invaded our lives through email, through our smartphones, through our laptops that we can take anywhere. You know, so people are just feeling burned out. They're feeling overwhelmed. And maybe you're feeling that way now, or maybe you felt that way before. But at times it's like I want it to be like the Staples easy button. Like, I just want it all to stop. I just want to slam the button down and say, stop. The problem is that life doesn't usually work that way. It doesn't usually work that easily, does it? So, you know, it's not likely that the world's going to slow down, but what is possible is, and I'm convinced of this, I believe it, and I've practiced it for the last 10 years, is that it's possible to live to a different rhythm. It's possible for us to find a different way of doing things. It's possible to march to the beat of a different drum. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about with you today. I'm going to go ahead and just share my screen. I have a few slides that I think will help you follow along. So let me just do that. And let me move the video back over so I can see your beautiful faces. All right, there we go. Can you see that okay? Let me go back up to the beginning. Yep. So I like to call this rhythms of rest. And this will be interactive along the way. I'll have some questions and we'll stop and have some dialogue at different times as well. This is a why work-life balance doesn't work and what to do instead. I like to say it this way. Here's what I believe. The answer to burnout and overwhelm is not work-life balance. The answer is an integrated life. And I'll unpack what that means as we go throughout this. So today I want to answer a few questions. I want to answer, what are balance, burnout, and wholeness? I say it this way too. The answer is not work-life balance. It's wholeness. Integration means completeness. I'll talk about that as we go throughout. So what is burnout, balance, and wholeness? Number two, why does burnout and overwhelm happen? And then number three, how do we move from work-life balance to integrated life, or work-life integrity, if you want to call it that? So let's start with this. Let's define and bring some working definitions to what we're talking about. Here's how I define burnout. Burnout is a state of relational, emotional, spiritual, or physical depletion. I just try to give a very simple definition of burnout, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. Balance is this. It's a state of equilibrium. Now, the reason I say that balance, work-life balance, which we hear that term so often. The reason I say that's not the right, it doesn't work, it's not the right terminology is because the word balance actually means equality. It means equilibrium. So if I say balance, what's the first picture that you think of? Go ahead, you can unmute and just tell me what do you think of when I say the word balance?
Like a scale. Like a scale.
Yeah, the scale, two weights on either side equal.
Exactly. Like, and the picture of the scale is usually when you see a scale, you're trying to make it equal, right? You know, that's usually the picture we see when we see a scale is it's got to be equal. And so the problem is it's the right concept. The right concept is because the people that define work-life balance well, they have the right concept. They say it's giving the appropriate attention to the right thing at the right time. It's the right concept. It's the wrong word, though. And here's why it's the wrong word. And it doesn't, we experience cognitive dissonance because the concept's right, but the word's wrong. It's the wrong word because life is not equal. You know, if you think just about your life on a day-to-day basis, you sleep for 8 hours if you're lucky. My sweet spot's 7. Some of you might be 8, 6, 9. I don't know, but you get the idea. We sleep 8 hours. We work 8 hours approximately. And then we have the other 8 hours and then some time on the weekend to jam in everything else. Our hobbies, you know, our fun, our exercise, community things, spiritual practices, whatever you place in there, life is anything but equal. It doesn't balance out in the way that the word balance means. And so I like the word integrity a lot better. It's an altogether different word, but it's a more appropriate word. And I think it's important to define the terms right because that helps us to have to connect with something and actually see how it works in our lives. So integrity doesn't imply equality. It implies completeness. It acknowledges that there are many different parts of life, but they're not equal, right? So the word integrity comes from a Latin word. You'll recognize it. It means integer. It comes from integer, and it means this: to be intact, to be whole, to be sound, to be complete. And there's another ancient word that speaks to this well and means the same thing. And I'm not a Jewish scholar, but I know the word, and you've probably heard it before. It's the word shalom. Anybody ever heard the word shalom before? Yes, some of us have heard it, right? It's often a greeting in the Hebrew culture where people say shalom, shalom, or it's a, you know, when you part a conversation. It's a common word, but it's more than a greeting. It also means this: completeness, all is well, health, prosperity, peace, harmony, and wholeness. And this is the one that I love the best. When you use the word shalom as a verb, here's what it means. It's actions that lead to a state of wholeness. Actions that lead to a state of wholeness. One author said it this way. He said, it's the way things ought to be. So isn't that a great concept to think about? What are actions or things that lead us to a state of wholeness, right? Because we're many parts, but we're one person. We're a whole person. And so let's talk for a minute about why does burnout happen? Now, the World Health Organization defines burnout this way. They say it's simply an occupational phenomenon. It's defined as workplace stress left unmanaged. Now, I believe the workplace is a major part of burnout. It certainly can be. But I also think that burnout and overwhelm is bigger than work. Okay. And here's what I mean. When you think about burnout, there's two big factors that I can see. It's personal well-being, and then I've defined your workplace, just for lack of a better way to sum it up, as workplace culture. Now, if the workplace culture overtakes the personal well-being and starts to bleed in more than it should, you're probably going to feel burnout. If you don't have the personal well-being side, but the workplace side is good, you're probably going to be, you're going to feel still frayed at the edges. And so the ideal is when those two circles overlap a bit, and we have thriving people. We have people that are whole and doing well personally, and the workplace culture piece is doing well as well. And so in the middle of that, there's thriving people. So let me go back just to my original premise, because the answer to burnout isn't balance. It's an integrated life, and work is one part of the whole. So we'll talk about work in the midst of this and what that looks like. So I'm going to stop for a minute. I'd love to hear just any thoughts on this initial part, especially that integrity, that shalom, that wholeness. And it, does that resonate with you? Do you find that to be true before we jump into the framework that I want to share? So any thoughts on this initial part or questions that you might have? Oh, yeah, I see that in the chat. I have two twin 15-year-old daughters, a bit dicey some days. I can relate to that. Got a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old. So yes, shalom also means peace. A toddler, and I would agree, burnout is more than at work. Worth it, but not easy. All right, any questions before I jump into the framework a bit? All right, go ahead, Frank. Yeah, I'd love to hear any questions.
Hi, Kent. Yeah, so this is great. So I'm just curious then if the common terminology is work-life balance, but we're kind of proposing a different framework, what would you call it?
Call it a lot of different things. I often say an integrated life. I use work-life integrity. I use wholeness. So those are the three terms. They mean the same thing, just different ways to say it.
Yeah, I wanted to add, especially from Brianna's comment, that I think a couple of things that I thought of. One is, to Brianna's comment, I think it's not just like, oh, overwhelm at work, but it's overwhelmed with, going back to your story, all the different responsibilities and competing priorities we have. And I have plenty of those days where I'm like, oh, I have more work to do, but my son wants to play and it's better to do that. But I also need to get these things done. And then like you work yourself up just trying to make a decision. And then I remember we did a session back in, probably late 2020 or 2021 about burnout with a guest speaker who, one of the takeaways I remember from it was that it's not just like too much work, but it's also a lot of work without purpose. Like when you're really, really into the work that you're doing, you can put in those long hours because you're so like excited about it. So people working in startups can work those 100-hour weeks. That can't do it forever. But, versus if you have no purpose, right, guiding you, or you're just not that excited about the work you're doing, that it's could cause burnout a lot faster.
That's a great point, Andy. Yeah, that was part of my issue when I burned out. I liked the work I was doing and put a lot of time, but there's a dark side to that too. The dark side would be, I like the work I'm doing and other parts of my life aren't going so well. And so I'm going to overcompensate by putting time into work, right? Okay, so let's jump into, I want to share with you go ahead.
Sorry, Helly had her hand up. Just wanted to go to her
role. Oh, I didn't see that. Go ahead.
Just put it up at the end there.
Just wanted to mention that when I think about burnout, I think it's sometimes a mental overload when you don't necessarily have to have lots of projects or lots of pressure at work. But it's a mental overload when you have too many things to think about and you don't take the time to really stop, think about it. Even sometimes just make a list, because in our heads, mm-hmm. it's sometimes a blur. But when you sit down, write it down, order your thoughts, it can really relieve some of the pressure you're feeling.
Yeah, that's really good. I totally agree. And you're going to see when I stick up this next slide, this is kind of how the four parts I define as an integrated life. I call it the rhythms of rest framework, REST. So R stands for relational, E for emotional and mental, S for spiritual. And you could also classify that as faith or a philosophy of life. So if you don't practice a particular faith, you may have a philosophy of life that you adhere to, and then T as tangible. And I'll describe what these four things mean. And I think what was happening with me, to be honest, and you might relate to this, I think, is when I was young, I had all these different compartments of life that made up a whole, but I didn't know how to manage all of them. I didn't know what made up a whole life. Or a complete life or a life of integrity, meaning that integration. And I didn't know how to manage the different things. And so as I grew in age and hopefully wisdom, these things begin to come clear. And I saw that I needed to put time into each of them in different ways in order to be a whole and complete person. So let me jump into this. Why do I call it the rhythms of rest framework? Well, if you think of the natural world, there's a cadence and a rhythm to it, right? You have the waves that lap on the shore in a steady cadence. You have the sun that rises in the east and sets in the west in a predictable time and manner. You've got birds and animals and butterflies that migrate in different patterns and in different seasons of the year. You've got crops that are planted and they grow and they're harvested in a timely fashion. And so there's a rhythm to the natural world. And I think as human beings, we're not human doings, we're human beings, we were meant to live with cadence and rhythm as well. So that's why I call it the rhythms of rest framework. I like to say this often, life is kind of like a garden. And like a garden untended, a life without intentional cultivation and rhythm creeps towards chaos and confusion. Let me say that one more time. Life is like a garden, and like a garden that's untended, a life without intentional cultivation and rhythm creeps towards chaos and confusion. So let's start with the R, and then I'll stop at the end of each one of these. I'll just go through one and we'll have a little bit of a discussion. So let's start with relational rhythms, the R. There's a counselor, a psychotherapist, you might have heard of her, name's Esther Perel, and she says this, and I love this quote, "The quality of your relationships determines the quality of your life." The quality of your relationships determines the quality of your life. I like to say healthy relationships give us wings. When our relationships are healthy, we feel like we can fly. We feel uplifted. We feel the wind beneath us. We feel like we can do anything. Do we have any Mr. Rogers fans out there? I'm a Mr. Rogers fan. Any of you know Mr. Rogers? Okay. Did anybody read his book? I really like the book on his life. You've probably seen the movie. So Mr. Rogers, when he was 70 years old, he was at the Emmy Awards and he was winning. He was there to receive his third daytime Emmy Award, and it was a lifetime achievement award. And here's what he said, and I found this so interesting. He said, "All of us have special ones who've loved us into being. Would you take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are? 10 seconds of silence." Now, you got to get the picture here. He's on national television. He's in front of all these stars and with all the glitz and the glamour. And he asks people to take 10 seconds of silence to think about the people that have loved them into being. And he was serious. So he lifted his wrist. He looked at the audience. He looked at his watch and he said softly, "I'll watch the time." And so there was giddy laughter as people realized that he was actually asking them to do this exercise right in the middle of this awards ceremony. And suddenly, you know, after he did that and people got the idea that he was serious, jaws clenched, bosoms heaved, people began to weep at just thinking about the people that have loved them into being. And so I'm actually going to ask you to do the same today. I want to just take 10 seconds. And it's such a powerful exercise. I want you to take 10 seconds and just think about the people that have loved you into being, the people that have poured love and time into you over the years. So let's do that. I don't have a watch, but I'll watch the time. I know 10 seconds. You probably thought about some people you haven't thought about in a while and some that you have, huh? It's a powerful exercise, isn't it? Just to think about the people who have loved you into being. If you think about it, and I stand by this, nearly every thing in our lives, good or bad, is tied to another person. Your horrendous circumstances that you've had to face, your glorious ones that you've had to face, if not all, are tied to a person or a relationship in one way or another. And so how do I classify relational wholeness? Well, there's probably more to these, but I've chosen three for each category that I think are the most important. So for your relationships, you've got your inner circle. That's who I call it. That's who I would say is a combination of one or more of these groups, your partner, your kiddos, and your comrades. And by comrades, I just mean, you know, those friends that will bleed with you, those friends that would do anything for you. The second category is your coaches, counselors, and mentors. And then the third category of relational wholeness I describe as your community or tribe. So for people of faith, that could be a church. Maybe it's CrossFit for you. Maybe it's a group like this. That can be one or more groups. Now, I kind of took these groups, not in the exact same way, but some of you have heard of Dunbar's number, where he kind of classifies in concentric circles, starting with your intimates out to 150 people. And he describes the first three categories as your intimates, then your five, which would be your best friends, then your group of 15, which would be like friendships that are not your best friends, but you're close to, then your 50 people who you'd invite to a dinner party, so on and so forth. So I like to just pick out the first three, and I'd like to define them as this. So if you want wholeness, if you want integration, you've got to have healthy relationships. Now, we know this is a work in progress. Some of our relationships are healthy at the time. Some are not doing so well. And so this is a process. But here's what I would say. If you want wholeness, if you want completeness, if you want an integrated life, we've got to strive to have healthy relationships. And so for me personally, that's why I've done three different bouts of marriage counseling over 24 years. That's why I currently have my own counselor. That's why we've done family counseling as a family in the past. That's why I put significant time and energy into getting together with a friend every week, even though I work virtually from my home. And so there's practices that we need to do to cultivate, or things that we need to let go of in order to cultivate what I consider one of the most important parts of life, which is our relationships. So here's what I want to ask, and we'll have a little bit of discussion. I want you to just, if you have a pen and paper there, on a scale of 1 to 10, I just want you to rate how you feel you're doing in these three different categories of relationships. So 10 being they're amazing, they're phenomenal, 1 being they're horrible, they're awful. So just take a minute to do that exercise and rate these three different areas of relationships in your life. When you've done that, I want you to just circle the one that's the lowest score, the one that's not doing so well. Or hey, Ken, maybe it's well, but it's lower. Yes, go ahead.
I have a question. I like this. And I think like for partner, kids, comrades, it's pretty obvious. Like you could probably feel how you're doing. How do you rate how you're doing with coaches, counselors, and mentors? Is it like, are you utilizing those people? Do you have relationships with those? I mean, some people don't have those people sure. in their lives, probably.
Good question. Yeah, I would say number one, are you utilizing those? And number two, do you feel it's working? What's the quality of those? So if you don't have, and it doesn't mean that you have to have all of these happening at once, maybe you don't have the money to hire a counselor or a coach right now, but there's probably someone in your life that you could confide in that's a little bit older than you, that's a little bit wiser than you, that could maybe, you know, you could share things with and they could speak into your life, so to speak. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yes.
And then community and tribe, same thing. Do you have groups of people that you're getting together with? And what does the quality of that community or tribe feel like? Is there a significant connection? Are you getting together with them outside of that? Does it feel fulfilling? So it's somewhat subjective. All right. So I want to have some discussion on this section. If you would like to share, one of them that you stood out to you that you want to put some work into or one that's doing well, you can feel free to do that, but also any questions on this relational section. So think about it this way, and I want you to write this down. What is one step you could take to improve the area of relationships that is struggling the most? What's one step you could take to improve the one that's doing not doing so well or as well as you'd like? And we'll come back to that at the end as well. So how do we integrate this? We talked a little bit about that. And I think, at the end, I'll ask you after we go through all of them to just look at what's the one thing that you want to put some energy into out of all these. And I realize it feels like a lot, but I'll help you sift through it a little bit. Okay. So let's talk about number two, the E in rest. It stands for emotional and mental rhythms. So emotions, Pete Scazzaro says this in the book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. He said, emotions are the language of the soul. I like to say it a little differently. I like to say emotions are the dashboard of the soul. So when you're driving a vehicle and the check engine light pops on, it's usually something that you pay attention to, right? It means that something's going on. The car needs to go in for a checkup or sometimes you feel more than that and the car starts bogging down or shuts off or something happens. Emotions are like that. You can't always live by them, but you had better pay attention to them. Or as my son's fifth grade teacher likes to say, she's so wise, you can let your emotions ride, but don't let them drive. So when you think about emotional and mental health, we lump them together often, but they're slightly different. So I like to think of it this way. If mental health is the ocean, then emotional health is the waves. So when we talk about emotional health blends emotional intelligence and emotional regulation. So, you know, if you think you're aware of your own emotions, how they affect you, and you're also aware of how they affect the other people around you. So part of that is learning to become aware of your emotions. And I'll be honest, I wasn't good at that. I don't know if I'd still say I'm great at it. I'm pretty good at it, but that was like non-existent for many years. I didn't know how to, you know, certainly didn't know how to manage my emotions, let alone try to pinpoint what they are and where they're coming from. And certainly didn't have a grid for how they affected other people unless I really acted out and got angry or something and saw that it was hurting people. So our emotional health blends emotional intelligence and regulation. Mental health is how you process your feelings related to your mental health. So it's how your feelings affect the way you think, right? And so it's the way we think, it's our decision-making, it's our problem-solving, it's our interactions with others, it's how we manage stress. So when we talk about feelings and emotions, there's three categories that I defined here. First, or emotional and mental health. First of all, your feelings and emotions. Second of all, your mind and your intellect. So let's look at feelings and emotions for a minute. I'm just going to give you a simple practice. If this isn't something you're good at or something that you need work on, you can start with something as simple as just paying attention to your feelings by asking a question like this and journaling about it for just a minute. Ask yourself, what is one way I felt today and why? What's one way I felt today and why? If you want to go to the next phase, then you do that with your partner or friend. You call them or you sit down with them and you say, hey, what's one way you felt today and why? And you get used to just share, like noticing your emotions, paying attention to them, and then saying, why did I feel that way? And so I've been learning to just try to sit with my emotions. Like before, when I was sad, I just kind of try to do something to get past it. Now I'll just sit with it for a while in my chair right here. And I'll just ask myself, why do I feel sad? I just want to feel this for a minute and sometimes not ask any questions and just kind of be okay with it. So that's feelings and emotions, your mind and your intellect. This is an important part of mental health. And you know, there's ways to cultivate your mind. We're not going to go into everything. Yes, I see your hand. I'll hit you in just a second. So for your mind and your intellect, maybe it's being a learner. My grandmother was 92 years old when she passed away, and she still was doing a crossword puzzle every day. She was as sharp as a tack. And so how do we care for our mind and our intellect? Physical things are tied into this too. If we get enough sleep, what we eat, those types of things. And then third, choice and decision, or will and volition. So this is where decision fatigue comes in. You know, how do we cultivate, how do we limit decision fatigue and help ourselves to make good decisions? And there's different ways to do that as well. We won't have time to go into all of it, because I want to take some questions and stuff, and I want to get through the other things, but I'd love to hear your question. Do you pronounce your name Haley, or how do you pronounce your name?
Haley.
Okay. Haley, you had a question.
Not a question, just a quick share. I can share that, you know, when thinking about my emotions, I went through a real journey around it. I initially started with not allowing myself to feel any negative emotion. It just felt, you know, why would I want to feel something negative? But after getting some education around it and understanding that without feeling the negative emotions, I won't be able to really feel the positive emotions, I realized I really need to address it. So I went to a therapist, and whenever we started talking, I started, you know, talking about what everything that I'm struggling with. It was during COVID. I had twin boys, just had another baby. I was overwhelmed. And I started, you know, talking. And then she said, okay, pause for a second. Allow yourself to feel what you're talking about. And really feeling like you said, it's a wave. I really felt like a wave. It's a short wave of pain that you physically feel it, but you allow yourself to feel it. And it really lasts for like 90 seconds. That's it. That's what we're so afraid of and running away from to, you know, social media, TV, feed, food, whatever. these 90 seconds, it's all it takes for this emotion to arise and then fade away. And when you allow it to happen, it's a great release. And when you're afraid of it and you don't allow it to be released, it will just get stuck within your body and you will overcompensate in various ways. And it will just grow and grow and grow and get out of proportion, right? So like a 90 second pause, it's all it takes.
That's really good, Helly. And yes, emotions, they will pass. And if they don't pass, they're probably connected to something deeper that you need to explore a little more, right? So I'll admit a lot of guys, well, I won't say a lot of guys, I wasn't good at this, but I've noticed in working with other men and, you know, different contexts that I have, men often struggle with this, but I would say, you know, it's something to explore and it will help you. You know, let me just say this, because we don't have time to look at what all these different areas, you know, things that are helpful for them. I'll just say when we're emotionally depleted, it's one of the toughest areas to replenish. You know, when it's relational, we generally know the cause of that, although it's not an easy fix. When it's spiritual, we know that we need input. When it's physical, we probably need eat, sleep, or rest. But emotional, you know, depletion is hard to replenish. So one of the things that I've found works best is just fun and hobbies. So Winston Churchill, many of you know who he was, hopefully all of us, but he embraced painting after he had a nervous breakdown after the Great War. He said, here's what he said, to be really happy and really safe, one ought to have at least two or three hobbies and they must all be real. So that's when he embraced painting. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. So I want you to do the same thing with this. On a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to rate your health or your flourishing in those three different areas: feelings and emotions, mind and intellect, and then choice and decision, or I say will and volition. And then circle the one that's lowest. And this is just for your own purposes. So, and here's a follow-up question. Write down one hobby, because I realize 2 to 3 is sometimes isn't always able to happen depending on the season of life you're in. Write down one hobby you'd like to cultivate in this season for emotional replenishment. And it could that hobby could be overlapping to exercise as well. Like Andy rides his bike. Maybe that's his hobby and his exercise. So it can overlap with other areas as well.
How'd you know I wrote down cycling? I wrote it today.
Well, so any quick questions or thoughts in this area?
Can we get people to put some hobbies in the chat? I want to see what the hobbies are.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Throw your hobbies in the chat there.
Connect over some hobbies.
I'm starting a new one soon. I rented a garden plot in my town here at one of the town gardens. I've you know, kind of fiddled around with plants and stuff, but it's like $25 for the year. So I can't go wrong. If I mess it up, then
you can't.
$25 investment down the drain. All right. So yeah, see your hobbies there. Puzzles. I love that. That's a great mind stimulation as well. Modern dancing, hiking, soccer, yoga, pickleball. Awesome. CrossFit. I love it.
Frank likes to.
All right. Well, I realize we're getting short on time, so I'm going to go through the next ones pretty quickly here. So the third one is spiritual or transcendent spiritual rhythms. You could also say faith or philosophy of life. So there's this quote in the Psalms that says this: "He who meditates is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." That's from Psalm 1 in the book of Psalms in the Bible. So these spiritual practices or philosophy of life practices, whether it's meditation for you, whether it's yoga, whether it's prayer like it is for me, these practices are a key to flourishing. Many of you have read Atomic Habits, but there's a book that came before that with a lot of the same research that was a little more sciencey. It was called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And he identified in that book what are called keystone habits. And so keystones are that specific stone in an arch that holds up the rest of them. And these keystone habits, he said, these are the habits that have a power to start a chain reaction that transforms everything else. And do you know what one of those keystone habits that he defined was? It was meditation. So he lists meditation as a keystone habit that has the power to start a chain reaction that transforms everything else. It's one of those really important sort of bedrock habits in your life. And it's something that our soul needs. So you can call it whatever you want. You can practice it however you want, but it's worth thinking about how we're meditating and what we're meditating on. So meditation has been known to reduce stress, improve focus and brain function, make us more compassionate and forgiving, decrease blood pressure, boost our immune system, and work through negative self-talk. So there's all these different benefits of meditation. Now, I identified three different spiritual rhythms, you know, or faith or philosophy of life rhythms. And I identify those as identity and purpose, rest and Sabbath, and then disciplines and practices, or in my world that we kind of call that spiritual formation. So your identity and purpose, I don't have a lot of time to go into that, but I will just say who we are and how we define that, and then doing something meaningful for our lives is something that gives us a sense of wholeness and completeness in our lives. So I could go way deeper on that. I won't do that today. The second one, rest and Sabbath, I want to focus on that for a second because, you know, the word rest literally means, to stop, to cease from doing activity. So in other words, stopping productivity for one day of the week to spend time doing things that we delight in. Okay, that's what I mean by rest and Sabbath. So a 24-hour period that we do that. And then thirdly, disciplines and practices. I think the best way to think about this is, what are the daily and weekly rhythms in my life that I really want to make those big rocks, in the words of Stephen Covey? What are those regular practices and disciplines in my life that make a difference? So, you know, Arthur Brooks, he's the happiness professor here at Harvard. He said, social science says it doesn't have to be God, but we do need a sense of transcendence in our life, a sense of transcendence that makes us feel small. So it could be meditation, it could be prayer, it could be religion, it could be walking in nature without devices, looking up at the sky for an hour, but things that make us feel small and make us feel like we're a part of something bigger. So that's what I mean, by disciplines and practices as well. So how do we integrate this? Well, again, I want you to just take those three things and I want you to rate them for your own purposes on a scale of 1 to 10. Andy, because I want to be sensitive to time, what time do we need to wrap up here?
Well, we're 3 minutes from the top of the hour. I know a lot of people plan other meetings around this, so it's okay with me if you go a few minutes over, but you may lose some people.
Sure. So while you guys are writing that down, I'm going to give you the last one just so I don't leave you hanging. The last one is the T. It's tangible. And I qualify that in three areas: your job and your finances. These are things that all have tangible outcomes. Service and mission. What I mean by that is serving a cause greater than yourself, or serving others who can do nothing for you in return. So an aspect of giving out. And then lastly, physical health. We all know this, but eat, sleep, and exercise. So those would be the different tangible rhythms that we need to get a hold on. Now, I'm going to jump to, I want to help you implement this because I know some of you have to go. And I want you to just think about it a few different ways. So this seems like a lot of stuff, and I don't want you to be overwhelmed. So here's where you start. You start with the pain. This was inspired by C.S. Lewis. He said something of this nature: pleasures whisper, but pain shouts. So pick the area of greatest pain out of all these areas, and just pick one area that you're going to take a step in the next 24 to 48 hours. And I just want to clarify, that step doesn't have to be adding something new to your life. You may want to think about it this way. You may want to think about, what do I need to subtract from my life? Because we tend to think towards, what do we need to add? But sometimes it's a matter of subtracting something. So start with the pain and pick one step that will take you 2 minutes to do. And just start somewhere. What I want you to do when you get off this call is just write down the three next possible steps in that one painful area that would help you. And I also wanted to just give you this resource before we go as well, and then I'll take any other questions that we have. I have a resource that you can get here. I made it special. Well, I put together this page special for it. It's kentmorosky.com/storch. And you can take the rest assessment there. And so you have it documented. It will help you with some, you know, to, you know, look at the areas where you need some work. And then I included a couple bonuses there because I think identity and purpose is a big part of finding wholeness. I'm going to give you the purpose clarity guide that I wrote for free, and then the slides from today's presentation. So any thoughts or questions? I know we're wrapping up here. Sorry, I had to rush through, the end there. I didn't, I took too much time in the beginning, but this is something I generally would do, like to do in a workshop, you know, like a 3-hour workshop, but, you know, we don't always have time to do that. So,
yeah, no, this is great, Ken. And for those that maybe we're going to have this recording up, people listening on audio only later, the website is Kent Murawski, MURAWSKI.com/storch, like my last name. Any questions? I'm happy to keep this open for a few minutes if anybody has questions or comments.
What I would love to hear too, what resonated with you? What didn't resonate? I'd love help on making this better. I've been doing these things for a long time, practicing these things, but I'm starting to bring them into the world. So I'd love to hear what resonated, what didn't, what's missing, what's confusing.
Kent, I really like the exercises because it makes you take the theory and sort of give it some thought. So I just like the way you ask the questions and have to rate yourself. I think that's helpful.
Thank you. In the past, how have you all thought of wholeness or integration or kind of life as a whole? Was it helpful to have a framework around this or what have you used in the past?
Hi, Ken. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to comment on. I really resonated with the REST framework. And, you know, I had been kind of ruminating about this idea of growth and what it really means to grow. And so I just think that having this framework of relational, emotional, tangible, and spiritual, and that encompassing the whole person. And then as you talked about the rhythms as being human beings, that really resonated strongly with me. So thank you.
Appreciate that, Frank. Thank you. It's helpful. Anything that was missing or didn't resonate, and please, I'm glad with the I'm happy with the constructive feedback as well. So, or anything that felt disconnected.
One thing that comes to mind for me, Kent, that maybe you covered this, I didn't hear as much, I think, when you were talking about the emotional and mental, where would you put like learning and growth? I feel like, especially for those of us in the group here, that's a big need. Yeah. And we know that a lot of people need that. Would you put that under mind and intellect?
I would. That's where I would have put it had I not spent so much time on other things. Yes.
No, that's okay. Because, you know, one thing that comes to mind for me is I don't think I've really experienced burnout. Certainly had plenty of times where I'm like overwhelmed or stressed or whatever. But I did have a moment, you know, my whole journey into building everything I have started in 2016 when I had a good job, but I felt like something was really missing. And what I realized as I went through my journey was that what was missing for me was growth. I just wasn't like learning and growing on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, I had those degrees and then I was doing my job. But once I started like reading more and listening to podcasts and doing all these things that many of us do, and like trying new things in life and really adopting more of a growth mindset over the fixed mindset I grew up with, that I realized that, okay, this is the thing that was missing. And it's so much more fulfilling now that I'm, you know, making sure that I'm growing at all times.
Yes.
So
that's a good point.
Go ahead, Abby.
I was going to add, to some extent, I feel like growth is all encompassing of all of these things. I mean, you can grow in each one of these areas.
True.
Actively learning, I could definitely see it in like that mental category.
Yeah. But you can grow your relationships. Certainly.
I'm glad you brought that up.
In the tangible areas. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, Abigail, because we like to compartmentalize things, but even though I've compartmentalized them as part of a whole here, they all bleed together and overlap each other in different ways, don't they?
Yeah.
I like what you brought up, Andy, because I think if you feel like your job isn't significantly challenging you, you know, it's that work that's been done on flow state, your challenges meet your skills, and that's the best place to be. But if your work isn't doing that for you, then you can do what you're talking about. We want to do that anyway, but we can challenge ourselves in different ways. Maybe we take a course, maybe we take a college class, maybe we read a couple books a month. But if that's not happening at work where you're hitting flow state, it can certainly happen in other ways. Any other thoughts or questions people have?
I agree with Frank. I really like the framework and the reminder that there's so many different pieces to life that really contribute to our fulfillment, our integrity, our wholeness, those terms you used earlier, and that it's not just like, oh, work harder, or if I achieve this goal, then I'll be happy. Like, you really have to look at where are we doing well and where are we not doing as well, and what do we need to pay attention to? And it's also a good reminder too, when dealing with other people, everybody else has these things as well, right? Everybody has challenges. Everybody has things they're dealing with. All we see on social media is the highlight reel. Everybody's life looks perfect, right? But everybody has challenges in different areas. And it's always a good reminder.
Abigail, you were going to ask a question or had a thought?
Oh, I was just going to make a comment, iterating off of what other people have said. I appreciate this framework. The four quadrants, I think, are a helpful way to think about it. I've thought about this before, but like finances, you know, not sure how to categorize them. So I like them in the tangible category. Did you develop this framework yourself, or it sounds like you're pulling from a lot of different resources?
Yeah. So the way I think about it, I developed myself. Obviously, there's nothing new here. I mean, people typically classify like, what are the big areas of life? Well, we've got our relationships. We've got our spiritual life. We've got our job. So I did pull a lot of resources into this, but when I had that paradigm shift in 2014, I began to think of it in these categories. And that word rest in and of itself became really important to me, mm-hmm. because I was learning to rest and live from a place of rest, even among all the stresses of life.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate the session today.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Andy, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed coming on with your people here. Let me stop sharing my screen.
Yeah, thank you, Kent. And thanks, everybody, for being here. This is awesome. We will get this in our member library, and we'll talk to you all next time. All right, that'll do it for my session with Kent Murawski in the Talent Development Think Tank community about avoiding burnout and overwhelm and really living a whole complete life. I hope you enjoyed that. I want to share with you some of my notes from the session, because I was taking notes throughout. I thought it was really interesting, some of the things that he said and shared. He said, you don't have to control everything to have peace in your life. If you want to catalyze people and organizations to reach their lasting potential, that's one of our goals, to catalyze people and organizations to reach their lasting potential. He said that relational tension can create the most burnout, and that's why he started with and spent the most time on relationships. That's your, you know, intimate, close relationships with partners, as well as children, parents, family, those really close friends. And then you also have, you know, colleagues and friends beyond that that you spend time with. And are you putting in the work to kind of nurture and build healthy relationships? Because those are possibly the most influential things in your life. In your lives for your happiness and health. He also said work has invaded our lives and we are available 24/7, which is causing overwhelm. And then he talks about his rhythms of rest, why work-life balance doesn't work, and here's what to do instead. So that's kind of the lead-in to his talk. He said the answer to burnout and overwhelm is an integrated life. Kent said work-life balance, in quotes, doesn't work because life is not equal. We need work-life integration instead. He talked about integrity over balance. Kent said integrity doesn't imply balance. It implies completely, I think I wrote. It means to be intact, to be whole, to be sound, to be complete. And then he talked about actions that lead to wholeness and used his REST framework, which stands for relational. And that's about relationships, includes partner, kid, comrades, coaches, counselors, and mentors, and community and tribe. He talked about, he shared an activity where you kind of rate your relationships and then figure out where you want to put in the most effort. The E is emotional and mental. Emotions are the dashboard of the soul, he said. And he talked about feelings and emotion, mind and intellect, and will and volition. The S was spiritual and transcendent, developing keystone habits that can transform your life. And he talked about identity and purpose, rest and Sabbath, disciplines and practices. And then the T is tangible, which included job and finances, service and mission, physical health. So again, go check out Kent Murawski's website. He actually gave a bonus resource if you want to go check it out. It's Kent Murawski, that's KentMurawski.com/storch. My last name, STORCH.
believe there's a bonus resource there where you can go grab this REST framework and check it out. And if you want to check out the Talent Development Think Tank, where we have more great calls coming up like this, where you can join live and interact with people, our website is tdtt.us, as in Talent Development Think Tank. That's tdtt.us. All right. Thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you next time.